Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Green Poll podcast. I'm Dan Crawford, the editor of Hammy End, and I'm joined by my good friend who's back after our sort of summer vacation. I'm joined by Oscar Bloom. Oscar, how are you? How's your summer been
Very good.
so far?
It's been great. Really relaxing after those GCSEs.
Yeah. Well, there you are. Yeah, it doesn't get any easier after GCSEs, son, although they feel like ancient history to me. So,
They are ancient history to you.
I see we're picking up from where you left off. I'll just remind the listeners, you haven't paid your fines for swearing on the podcast previously. So he's starting on four yellow cards, and he's a one jail penalty and a crunch away from getting himself banned even in pre-season. But moving on with that disciplinary warning issued to Oscar, obviously it's been very quiet on all things Fulham recently. Nothing has happened at all. And I mean, I don't even know why we're talking about anything, because nothing's happened. Nobody's going anywhere. There are no interest in any of our players. And, you know, we'll see you again in August sort of thing. Oh, no. Well, some things might have happened. It's gone a bit crazy, Oscar. Marco Silva might have been going to Saudi Arabia, rejected the chance to go to Saudi Arabia, rejected some Premier League teams, allegedly, although there's no suggestion of which ones they were. And now he might be going to Saudi Arabia again. He met with some people from a Saudi Arabian club today, except he's in America. Then it was his representatives, plural, met with them, even though he's only got one representative. And, you know, he's still weighing up whether to be the Fulham manager or take the Saudi sports washing dosh. And, of course, our number nine, our hero, our main man, Alexander Mitrovic, is apparently so angry that Fulham want £52 million from Al Hilal for his services, they will never play for Fulham ever again, if you believe what Sky Sports News put out last night. I mean, where do we start, Oscar? I think we should start with Mitrovic, because I don't really know what to make of this. He's not got a long-term contract. I didn't think when we were dancing along to Mitro's on fire against at the end of the Crystal Palace game that we were waving him goodbye. Did you?
Honestly, I thought this would be the one season where we wouldn't get any transfer speculation about him. I really did think that. And it's gone completely the other way. And who would have, of all the things I would have thought that happened in the transfer window, you know, I thought maybe Polina would go. I didn't think he would, but I thought that'd be one of the more likely things. But
well, everyone's been trying to sell Zhao. We'll get on to that.
Yeah, but it never got close. It, you know, no one, so far, no one's got really close to it.
Well, talk very close to it. They seem to invent a new bid from somebody every 5 minutes. Almost like all of these people are really interested in selling everything. You know, like Fulham can't really achieve anything ever. We can't have nice things because people want to take them from us. I'm not bitter about it at all, as you can tell. But specifically on Mitrovic, I mean, how has this gone down in Serbia, the fact that he wants to go and play in Saudi Arabia for what I presume, you know, is a significant pay. It's a significant payday for Mitrovic, but it's not. Nobody can say that it's a step up in terms of football to go from the Premier League to the Saudi Pro League. I mean, it seems a bit.
I mean, if you listen to the Saudis, it's a massive step up in quality, and they've got loads of domestic talent and not importing any good players. You know, it's just purely homegrown talent of the excellence of the Saudi footballing.
I mean, they do have some
footballing
telling
culture.
The truth, some of these people. And, you know, people who they don't like don't tend to live very long, do they? So we do have to take it with a little bit of a pinch of salt. But, I mean, are you surprised about this with Mitrovic? Did it seem in character for him?
I honestly, I didn't expect this would happen. Looking at the past transfers he's happened, it's always looked like he's tried to have a step up to a place where he'd be a better fit. It didn't necessarily look like money related always. I think in Serbia, this probably won't be
And
well
how would this go down?
received,
You know,
yeah.
would he still play for the national team if he was playing for
Yeah,
one season?
I think he won't be popular, but he will play because unless his like quality drops off, but that's a different matter. That would be really speculation there. But otherwise, I think yeah, he would
Well,
play
quality
because
is going to drop off because it's not really a very good league. And
yeah.
wasn't at his best in Qatar. There are obviously some fitness issues, but he looked heavy legged in a hot country where it was tough with the sort of physiology and the climate. It's not going to be that easy to play the way Mitrovic plays in Saudi Arabia, no? I mean, maybe we're giving this too much credence. The crux of the matter is Mitrovic still had a contract for another 3 years, and he's on a big contract at Fulham, and the asking price is £52 million again, allegedly. I mean, Fulham hold all the cards here. What should they do? Because the Saudis, Al Hilal, Al Ahly, any of these teams, they're not going to get to £52 million in one go. So Fulham can just say, "Oh, sorry, Alexander, nobody's met your asking price." Oh, but the Premier League kicks off next week. You might want to get yourself fit to play some matches. Because I imagine if it's the choice between playing in the Premier League and not playing in the Premier League, he's going to choose to play in the Premier League rather than sulk, isn't he?
Yeah, I can't imagine he did because if he doesn't play, then his valuation will go down. Then really, no one will want him no matter what. So he can't, in his mind, he would have to play even if he doesn't leave because he's got no other alternative because then his career's finished.
Well, I mean, and it seems very sad given the special bond that we thought we had with Mitrovic. I mean, it's only the end of the start of this month or the end of last month he did that interview with the Fulham Fix talking about how he loved Craven Cottage. It was his home. He was so grateful for all that support at Southampton. It seems a bit of an abrupt change of
Yeah,
heart.
but like mostly it's not really players who involve themselves in these transfers. It's usually agents and people like that who spread these rumors. The players like to keep their hands clean for obvious reasons. And I just think he's been badly advised by his agent, who we all know is hasn't got the best reputation when it comes to well, transfers and
Oh,
monetary incentives generally.
Zahabi. I mean, well, he is Manuel Solomon's agent, isn't he? And he was the broker of the Roman Abramovich deal at Chelsea, amongst many other things that we could list. But I'd rather not attract the attention of Mr. Zahabi's lawyers at this point. I'm sure they will get in touch at some point. But it's interesting that. You know, we're suddenly hearing what Alexander Mitrovic says to his own relatives live on the television when he's an immensely private man. And, you know, he wasn't going to be on the plane, and he was definitely on the plane, and apparently he's not going to play. I mean, I should assume he will play at some part in some of these friendlies. And Marco Silva, what's your take on where we stand with Marco Silva? It's a lot of money that's been offered, but again, for a man who wants to prove himself in the Premier League, this wouldn't be a step forward for his managerial career, would it? It might be for his bank balance.
Yeah, no, I think he came to this club to prove himself. That, in my mind, I don't think the money will tempt him away because he didn't come here for the money. It wasn't like Fulham said, "We'll give you lots of money." He came here to prove himself and start a new project. I think what he's mostly looking for, and the reason why he hasn't signed his contract, is because he's looking for like players in the door, and he hasn't really got that so far, as we'll probably come on to later.
Well, I mean, let's come on to it right now. I think you've hit the crux of the issue, which is for the Khan ownership has extended through 10 years now at Fulham Football Club. And I mean, the pertinent point about Mitrovic goes back to one of the very first managers the very first manager that Mitrovic played under, Slavisa Jokanovic, before Mitrovic arrived. We had a striker who didn't particularly want to play for us at one point, called Chris Martin. And Chris Martin decided he wanted to go and return to Derby. And Slavisa Jokanovic came up with the immortal line, "This is Fulham, this is not a train station. You cannot choose when you come and when you leave. You must choose to play for Fulham." You know, could Slavisa dig out the old WhatsApp or Snapchat that he used to persuade Mitrovic to come to Fulham in the first place and say, "Hey, Mitro, Fulham's still not a train station, son." You know, I think that might be worth reiterating. But your broader point, of course, is that Slavisa was quite outspoken about the methodology used for transfers and how long it took. He wanted to sign somebody called Andreas Pereira a few years ago. That doesn't seem like a bad signing in retrospect. And then we get on to the crux of the matter, which is Fulham are going to the United States to play three friendlies, then they play Hoffenheim, then it's the Premier League season. And if it wasn't for Silva intervening with Willian, we'd be substantially weaker without him as well. So you're right. So we're in a holding pattern. Silva's waiting to see whether Fulham's ambition matches his. And you'd have to question that at this point, because he hasn't got the players that he wants to build on the success from last season, which is what he wants to do, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I think the main thing he's looking for is backing in terms of players. And because he hasn't got that, he's obviously not signing a new contract. But then it's a bit of a catch-22, which I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of the Khans generally, but I do kind of sympathise them in this situation, because all these players that we're being linked to are contingent on that they will only join us if Silva gives them assurances, and Silva won't give them assurances until they're in the door, until he's got the backing. So it's a bit of a catch-22, because we can't really move forwards without the players, and Silva won't really move forward to get the players.
Well, I mean, I see what you're saying, but Silva's under contract for another year, and presumably they go through the process. I mean, some of the questions that we've had in advance of this podcast, one asks us to explain Fulham's whole transfer recruitment strategy. I mean, I think we need a whole podcast just on that.
Do we have one?
The intricacies of the two-tick system and all of this. I mean, I think it's fairly well established that English clubs, at least, don't give managers full control over signings anymore, for very obvious reasons, because if you've got a bad manager, it can go wrong very quickly. But there has been a bit of tension in the sort of director of football, Khan family, head coach role, and there will be a bit of creative tension in that. But the basic point stands: other teams are acquiring players and we have not really done so yet. And also the targets that we're going for. I mean, if you were very keen on Pavlovic, which doesn't seem to have gone anywhere. But we've got some centre-backs. I mean, let's list them, shall we? Morato. I think Fulham have missed out on Igor, who seems to be going to Brighton, if you believe any of this stuff. They're in for Calvin Bassey this week.
From Ajax, right?
Yeah, well, ex Leicester City, then at Rangers, had a couple of seasons at Rangers, reached the Europa League final, just a season at Ajax. There are a couple of other central defensive names. Then Timothy Castagna, the Leicester City fullback who can play on either side. He seems to be a target defensively. We definitely need to strengthen defensively, and that's kind of bound up with the fact that nobody's quite sure what's going on in Tosin Adarabioyo's head at the moment. Is he coming? Is he going? What's he doing?
He thinks he's better than the club. But in my opinion, anyway, he really isn't. And I think that's where it's always lied. He thinks he's destined for, like, big six starter, you know, all that stuff. But at this current moment in time, he's nowhere near that, in my opinion.
Well,
And I think
but
that's where the problem is.
I don't want to. I think that might be slightly harsh because we clearly don't know what he does think, because otherwise we'd be mind readers. But what I would say is it's clear he was unhappy to have lost his place in the team after Issa Diop came in and Tim Ream was so exceptional. Well, the solution to that is just to play better when you get your opportunity. But he's decided, seemingly, if you believe the reporting, he's decided that he's not going to renew. He's not going to commit to a long-term deal, having had his contract extended by 12 months. And so Fulham have to, they should be looking for central defenders anyway, because we've lost Shane Duffy, and we need to add some. There is some positive news, though, isn't there? Anthony Robinson signed a new 5-year contract. That's good news, Oscar, to tie down somebody who had an excellent season, I felt, last year. Did you feel he was good at left back?
I'm gonna be. I'm not. I like Robinson. I'm not the biggest fan of him, mainly because at some moments he's excellent, and at some moment I can see why loads of people like him. And while I do think he is very good, he's also can be very inconsistent in how he plays. He can make mistakes at some points in the game, then other points, look like a world class left back, and that's really my main issue with him. But I do think it's good news that we've tied him down, especially sort of. So far, what's been happening within this transfer window. So I don't suppose I can be
I
too picky
sometimes
about
wonder,
that.
he's playing for us because he's not a world-class left-back. If he was a world-class left-back, some Saudi Arabian team would have put in a bid for 77 million and he wouldn't be playing for us anymore. Or the Big Six would be involved. I do feel Robinson, clearly the knock against Robinson is sometimes his final ball is not what it could have been. But I thought his one-on-one defending. It's very difficult to think of a right winger in the Premier League last season who absolutely murdered him on the field. There may have been one or two, but I thought he was consistent. And you're right, I thought it was a big statement to sign him to a 5-year contract, and clearly Marco Silva would have had some input into that, because otherwise I don't think Robinson would have committed to it. The signs are that we're going to hold on to João Palhinha, even if various outlets are trying to secure him for West Ham, including inventing minimum fee release clauses and things like this. I mean, it's pivotal to keep hold of our best players, which is why there's a bit of angst in the fan base. But we probably need to add to the midfield options, don't we? It's been Pellini and Reed, and that worked quite well for most of last season. But there's talk of André, the Brazilian international, 22 years old from Fluminense, almost a holding midfielder who obviously can pass. He's Brazilian, but a tenacious player in the sort of Pellini mould. And that would be a club record signing, getting on
Yeah,
past
no.
for Frank Anguissa, and it seems like that. I mean, how close that is anybody's guess, because it did look like Fulham had tweeted about it at some point earlier today. But I think somebody might have been having some fun with Photoshop, if that software still exists, or Canva. But Fulham certainly in for Andre. We do need to upgrade in central midfield. All due respect to your the man you think is going to be the new I don't know, Andrea Pirlo, Sasa Lukic. Said anything about Sasa Lukic for the whole podcast so far. So talk to me about the central midfield. What are we saying?
Firstly, I'd be really, really, really happy if Andre signs for us. I've had a little look at him. I know a bit about him. Obviously not masters, but he looks really good, young, exciting, sort of fits Silva's play style or will. And of course, we all know Silva's really good at developing and improving players. So Yeah, if Silva wants, it's to be honest though, it's throughout this one, if Silva wants someone, I want them as well, because I think it's been proven, especially last transfer window, Silva's transfers and who he's recommended, Pereira, Polina, these kinds of players, it's worked really, really well. I think in terms of midfields more broadly, I actually say we need some more attacking midfielders, because we've only really got Pereira. Lukic can do it, but
Can
that's not
he?
his position. It's not his position. He can, but he would be the second choice in the current squad.
What,
Because
Tom
then, oh,
Kenny?
Omer Kenny, Kenny, third choice. Third choice. Sorry, I lie. I lie. I lie. Third
Don't
choice.
lie, you
Third choice.
just forgot about Tom Kenny, which is quite a problem.
Yeah, but yeah, that's
Also,
fair enough,
Luke
actually.
Harris. I feel
Yeah.
like Luke Harris should get more of a look next season.
He's not developed enough for the Prem, though. He's really promising, but he's not
Bit
developed enough for the
harsh,
Prem.
mate. He's going pretty great guns for, like, give him a chance. We've got the summer series. I assume he's going to play some football. And there are a couple of other young lads. You look at that squad that they've taken out to America in the last 24 hours or so, and it does show where there needs to be strengthening. But it's also a good opportunity to see. Some of these youngsters, Delano McCoy-Splatt, Jamaican international at 18. I'm looking forward to seeing a bit of Martial Gotto, who has impressed for the under 21s and did really well at Crawley, one of the few people who we could say that about from that horrible night back in August when we
When
thought,
Kenny slipped at the corner.
yes, he did, and also Issa Diop. And Shane Duffy looked like they'd been drinking together beforehand, rather than, actually lining up for a serious game. Very strange evening that was. Anyway, and there is, regardless of what happens to Mitrovic, do we need to get another centre forward? I'd like to revisit the whole Carlos Vinicius thing, because you went from being really cold on Carlos. Being really hot on Vinicius. So where are we on the viniometer today?
I honestly, I think he's a great backup. I think he's by far the best backup we'll ever get. And notice the fact that I'm stressing backup, not striker as a whole, because he is not he can't, yeah, first team, first choice striker. We would have to find someone else. And that's part of my issue with people saying we should sell him to Richard Gart, or we should, if they meet the asking price, because we won't be able to find someone. I don't think we will. I don't have faith, sorry, that we will find someone of the of adequate quality to replace Mitrovic in the time we've got left before the first game of the season, or before when the transfer window shuts, because I think it's about 3 games or 4 games
Well,
before the
I want
transfer window
to,
shuts.
yeah. I mean, well, hang on. Look, before we get to sort of like looking at replacements for Mitrovic, like, it seems a little bit contradictory to sort of say, oh, well, we can get rid of him now. Well, only if they meet the asking price, as you've intimated, would it make sense for Fulham, given how important Mitrovic is to Fulham. Fulham are the people who set the asking price. They value Mitrovic highly because he's important to us. And in a scenario where the Saudi Arabian clubs don't meet the asking price, there are very few other places, other clubs who could, and none of them seem to be showing much interest in Mitrovic. And are we seriously to believe that when the Premier League season comes around, he's not going to want to play? I mean, does that sound right to you? He's going to want to play in the Premier League.
Yeah, I just can't see that happening. I just think that's either it's a bit weird, the whole story, because it's a family. I'm assuming it's either a text or it's a co actual conversation or something. It just seems a weird bit weird how that got out. So
Well, let me
I'm
posit
not saying it's in.
let me
Yeah,
posit
I must.
a scenario for you. It does seem strange that Mitrovic's conversations with his relatives are now being broadcast live on Sky Sports News. I didn't have that on the bingo card for the sixth week of the silly season, but here we are. And we can't, I don't think, divorce this new Saudi Arabian interest in everything Fulham related from these comments made by Tony Khan Did you see these comments? Did you hear these comments?
Yeah,
I thought that was an excellent statement by Tony Khan. I'm just going to read it because some people may not have heard exactly what the director of football said on a American podcast when he was directly asked about the Mitrovic and the Saudi Arabian influence in football. And Khan, this is a verbatim quote. It is amazing. I think if you have enough money, you can get away with anything, including murder. And try to sign up all the top players in the world. Certainly, they have approached a lot of great players. And I'm very, very interested to see where this goes. But for us, we're definitely committed to keeping our top stars and doing what it will take. We've got a great, great, great team. We had a great season. It was one of the best seasons in the history of Fulham. And I'm really excited about this coming season. And then he almost goes as far as to invite the host to come to one of the summer season matches. Hopefully, you will get to one of the games that are coming up. It's an extraordinary venture into, is he auditioning to be like Secretary of State or something? Because he's clearly referencing the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. So I don't think Tony Khan will be spending any time in any Saudi Arabian consulates. And suddenly, my Twitter page and the Hamian Twitter account got swarmed by Saudi Arabians telling us that we were very disrespectful. I
I'm
may
so scared.
well be very disrespectful, Oscar. Who knows? But
Yeah.
it was interesting to me. And suddenly now we've got Mitrovic agitating for the move. Pini Zahavi advising him that he should fulfil the terms of his contract and train with the club and go on the pre-season tour. And this idea that, we've been told that the third bid for Mitrovic is coming. The two bids for Mitrovic are £25.5 million from Al Hilal, which is £5.5 million more than we ended up paying for Mitrovic in totality in 2018. He's clearly a better player than he was when we signed him permanently from Newcastle. And then they made a bid of £35 million. And we were told by these Saudi Arabian characters on Twitter and journalists, in inverted commas, know what the Saudi Arabians think of journalists. And I'm speaking as one. So, yeah, declare my interest in that regard. Journalists telling us that the third bid was imminent. And then there was a suggestion that they made a verbal offer or clarification to Fulham. And Fulham rejected these offers so quickly that Mitrovic was like, "Well, aren't you going to consider them, give them the consideration they deserve?" I imagine. I don't know, but it seems odd to me that they know what the price is. It's
But they're
not.
still trying to negotiate.
I'm saying it's not like only fools and horses in the middle of I'll give you £5 for it, mate. No, the price is £7.50. I'll give you £6.25. No, the price is £52 million. I know the Saudis have got the money because they've just given most of it to Jordan Henderson, and various other people. So I know we know they've got the money. Like they either show us the money, or they move on to another player because they're buying up all these other players, or Newcastle can buy him back. Potentially,
Yeah, I
and well, or of course, what we can do is say, well, we've got some other players you might be interested in. We can sell you Terence Kongolo for £20 million. He'd
or
do.
maybe Cavallero.
Well, I mean, they're looking for a centre forward, Ivan Cavallero, quite energetic,
Yeah.
enthusiastic. He might even score a goal in the Saudi Premier League. I don't
Maybe
know.
even two.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. They must have some goalkeepers. It's hard not. We shouldn't laugh because there is a serious point here, which is that Mithras is a cult hero at Craven Cottage, and you're not meant to have heroes past the age of about 15, but we all love our players and we love our club, and we believe when they kiss the badge and do all this sort of thing that they might love the club sort of one tenth as much as we do, but it doesn't always work out that way. I would just say there's a long history of people who've made the big money move and then regretted it, and yeah, it leaves a sour taste in the mouth. But what I would say is we are London's oldest football club, Oscar, since 1879. Plenty of players, managers, chairmen, characters of all sorts have been and gone. And Fulham Football Club is still here playing at a wonderful stadium. The question is, how competitive can we be in the Premier League? And that's at the crux of Silver's ambition. You've referenced this. I just wanted, how competitive can we be? Is there going to be like a second season syndrome? It's going to be difficult to replicate what we did last year, isn't it? Even with the best will in the world.
I think to be honest, it still hangs in the balance for me. If we keep a hold of, all these key players and Silva, I think there is not really a limit as to what we could achieve, obviously, within reality. We're not going to become the new Man City next season. But at the same time, if we keep a hold of these key players and we sign these people who we're looking at, because these are good people who we are targeting. So if we actually sign them, and we keep the people who we want, I genuinely think that we could push for Europe. But at the same time, if we lose some of our key players, we could be in the battle for relegation again. So I don't think it'll be a traditional second season syndrome, because that usually implies that the club still has an element of optimism around it towards the start of the second season. But in this case, if we were going to do that, we wouldn't have, because we'd lose half of our good players and half our key players, I should say, and maybe even Silva.
Yeah, I mean, but we've got some quality in the squad. It's just about supplementing it. Because I wonder, when we were looking at, can we really expect Willian to be as good in the second season, for instance? Is Tim Ream going to be as good? How serious is Andreas Pereira's injury? Is Bobby Decordova-Reed going to cover all these positions and be brilliant? And aren't other teams going to look at how we played and work out how to stop us a little bit? Tactically, is there a danger of that?
Possibly, but Marco Silva has changed. We don't just stick to the same formation, or not same tactics. No matter who we're playing, we do change based on who our opposition is. So I do trust him to adapt where necessary.
Yeah. So if you were making a priority list of where we needed to add people, who's at the top of your sort of three-man shortlist to get in as soon as possible? What position, first of all, is most important?
I'd say left-footed centre back.
Yeah.
I'd
Left-footed
say
centre backs cost more than anyone else, don't they?
I
Seemingly,
know.
no one English can kick with their left foot anyway,
Yeah,
can they?
I know. It's ridiculous. I still can't believe how hard it's been for us to find someone. I'd also say maybe left wing as well, because I love Willian, but I don't know if, as you said, I don't know if he can replicate the same season he had last time. So, and he's 30, like 35 now. So he's bound to have an injury or something,
Out on the right wing, where have you seen Harry Wilson's
Right
back,
wing.
by the way?
Yeah.
You seen
Yeah.
it? I mean,
It's
first,
horrible.
no, I not that I want to give out fashion advice, but did he look in the mirror before he did it? We need to get my friend on the right wing because Niskins is no longer there, and we're a bit short of right wingers, no? Apart from Bobby.
No, we are absolutely, but I think left wing. I think we desperately need to sign people on both wings, but I think left wing is even more of a priority because he's more Willian is probably more injury prone than Wilson is at his age. That's
And
my only thing.
we need a left fullback, I would suggest,
And a
to,
backup. Yeah.
and maybe even a right fullback to back up
Yeah.
Benitezzo.
What do you mean, man? We have Mbabu.
Well, that is true. We've got Kevin Mbabu. Yeah, maybe.
The backup, the comeback is going to be insane.
Is it the redemption of Kevin Mbabu? Sounds like
Yeah.
a novel from the sort of from the from the 1700s or something. Right, we're almost out of time, mate. That has absolutely flown by. Hopefully, we've given you a bit of insight into what might be going on. That doesn't really feel like it. Thanks so much, Oscar, for joining me tonight to go through this. And we'll be back to talk to people after the first summer series game on Sunday against a mob from Hounslow, who you may or may not have heard of. Good luck to everyone who's going out to America, and hopefully there'll be some cooler heads prevailing in the next couple of days. As ever, we love doing this and talking about Fulham. Thanks for your support, and come on, you Whites.